Hello everyone, we're here in Channel 9, and today I'm going to interview Gökhan Şengün. I hope I didn't butcher his name too much. He's a developer from Turkey, and he's used the Visual Studio Starter Kit to develop an app and ship it to the Windows Store with his company. So he's going to talk today a little bit about his experiences, what he liked and didn't like, and maybe give some tips for people who want to make their own apps with the Visual Studio Starter Kit, with the Visual Studio 3D tools, and all that. So how's it going?
Hello, thank you. It's going good.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Yeah, I'm doing really well, and I'm really glad to have you here. We're eager to listen to your experiences, to understand what you like, what you didn't like. But first of all, tell us a little bit about your app. What is your app, and what's the app that you've just published on the store?
Yes, our app is trying to serve as a science experiment laboratory in virtual environment. And students are allowed to do science experiments in their tablets or computers. With science experiments, I mean physics, chemistry, and biology experiments. Currently, there are 6 experiments, but we are planning to extend it to 18. There are going to be 7 physics experiments, 5 chemistry, and 6 biology experiments. And
yeah, that's awesome. Right now you have published the first 6 experiments. I saw that the app is free on the Windows Store. So do you have a revenue model?
Yes, actually 3 of the experiments are free, but the other 3 is not free. We have the in-app purchase revenue model, and we are planning to sell the other 3 experiments too. But as the experiments are going to be increasing in number, then there are going to be more free experiments and some experiments with payment too.
Awesome. And can you share a little bit about how is it doing on the marketplace the first few days, few weeks?
Yeah, it's doing really nice, beyond our expectations actually. It's getting 100 downloads per day on average. And we didn't do any marketing up to now, and in the Windows Store it is not yet on the first rows, but it's going to be, I think, in the first rows in the search results. So we're expecting to be to get more downloads, but right now it has 100 downloads per day.
That's awesome.
I think it's good.
It's a great start.
Since it is in Turkish only, and only Turkish Turkish speakers can use this app. So it's not a multinational app, actually.
Do you have plans to do that, to like expand to English and other language later?
Yes, we have plans to expand it to English first. And according to the feedback we get, we may go with other languages too.
Awesome. And now tell us a little bit about your developing experience. So. As far as we know, you are the first app on the store that's not made by Microsoft that used the Starter Kit for most of it. Because we have a lot of apps that use parts of the Starter Kit, but your app actually used like the whole structure, and all your models are using the Visual Studio pipeline, and it's really a cool app. So and also like all the experiments are really rich and visually interesting in 3D. They're really enticing. So tell us a little bit about the development experience using Visual Studio and the Starter Kit.
Let me start from the beginning then. So I'm actually a Linux guy, and I have a little bit experience in 3D programming coming from college like 9 or 10 years ago. I dealt with OpenGL for 3 months or so. So I was having almost no experience with developing in Windows, neither on 3D actually. And I was looking for a good game engine for Windows 8, and at that time, mid-November, there were actually no game engines that allows us to do the experiments in 3D. And I started to look at the Bayer DirectX functions to get the vertex data and etc. And while I was searching the functions and the libraries, etc., the APIs, so I found your page that was telling that here is the starter kit based on DirectX. You can develop your games on top of it. And that really interested me. And I downloaded your kit and I just give it a run. And it really pleased me, and I started to think that this tool can help me develop my project, actually. And then we started to write some proof of concept code, since we didn't have any production level experiments in doing things in 3D. And we hired graphic designers. They gave us some output from their design tools, 3DX Max, and from this output, we weren't able to display the models in our tablet at the beginning. But with the instruction in the page, in the starter kit page given, we were able to render the models. And in addition, we were able to play the animations that are done in 3ds Max using bone structure.
So, do you have any tips for developers that are starting with 3D and DirectX, and like they're coming from the same background as you, like they're new to Windows, they're new to Windows 8 and to 3D? Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, I think it's essential to understand your infrastructure. I have 8 years of programming experience, and I started to rush things in developing my app. But I saw that I was trying to do the things that are already done in your kit, and they are hidden. They were hidden. So I think it's really important to understand the basics of your infrastructure. It has a lot of information. For example, I was trying to find the center of an object by averaging all the vertex position, but I saw that you already have that data, and I can really easily get it with a utility function. So I think without knowing anything regarding DirectX and using your starter kit is going to lose some time too. So it's important to understand at least what functions are doing and how are you doing the jobs. For example, your starter kit has a hit test, and you are allowing your users, your programmers like me, to understand which object is hit by the mouse or touch. And we use that infrastructure, your infrastructure, in dragging an object, for example. So the object is hit, and your infrastructure tells us which object hit, and we are trying to move that object along the scene. And we use some other manipulations to keep the object and hand at the same position, for example. And we really needed to understand what you have all done. So with the help of the understanding and the clean code that you wrote, we were able to accomplish this functionality. So this is the second recommendation that I can give. Reading the code is really important. Reading the infrastructure, the game engine, I can call your kit a very thin game engine, is really important. And I think it's also important to understand the DirectX interoperability, since it is really hidden, and it's very nice that it's hidden, but it can sometimes cost you some performance. Since the renderer is called by the UI very quickly, and I think 30 times or 60 times per second, and if you're doing something heavy in this callback, then your frame rate is really decreasing, and that's not pleasing the users. Users are complaining. I think these are the ones that I can recommend. to the new starters.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and those are some really, really great tips. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people that are starting are going to need more and more tips like that. So if you have actually any more tips, and if any of the viewers at home have any tips, we would love to hear about them. And please post your experiences, blog posts. If you have any open source projects that are using the StarKit, just let us know, and we're going to help you publish that and help you share those experiences with other developers, just like we're doing today. Do you have anything you want to demo to us?
Yes, actually, I have a demo, my application.
Yeah.
In my application, and I want to show some really cool shaders to you that is allowing us to show a flame actually moving. Yes.
Yeah. That's really cool. So. So let's move on to the demo then.
Okay, here we have some moving images in the main screen, and this is pure XAML, and we don't have any DirectX content here, surface, the swap chain background panel or etc. Here I'm taking the physics, and we have the experiments. It's going to be 7, but we have only 2 right now, and this is the first experiments, and we have a little nice image here, and we have the purpose of experiment, the procedure of the experiment in text. Student can read from it, and we have some little theoretical information regarding the experiment. And if everything is okay, then the student is pushing the start button here, and now we are in the swap chain background panel. And here we have the XAML component. It's a pop-up, and at the back of the screen we have the swap chain background panel and the DirectX content. So we are telling the students to do some things, and students is saying okay, and he's dragging the stone to one of the parts in scale. And the scale is moving, and we are actually moving this scale with matrix manipulation, and we are trying to find the correct mass of the stone. It's not yet equalized. Now it's equalized, and we are informing the student about the mass of the stone, and he is continuing with the experiment. Now we have a beaker, and he's moving it to here, and there is an animation. And this animation is coming from 3ds Max with bones. And with this animation, there is a little nice and aesthetic movement of the water level. And then at the end of the experiment, we are telling the student that the facts about the experiment, and student is now guessing the density of the stone, and I think it was 3.2. So we're telling him that the answer was correct, and he can continue with another object, or he can continue with another experiment. Actually, here it comes our revenue model. For example, this experiment is not for free, and if he pushes on this button, then we are offering him some choices. He can buy three experiments at once, or the one experiment, or he can just cancel. Let me buy three experiments and continue. Yeah, this is the these are the physics experiments.
Yeah.
And for example, in the chemistry experiment, you can see a little bit nice details. For example, now there's going to be a reaction between sulfur and iron. And now we are just weighing the components, and you can see that here, for example, there's a label like 3.8 grams, and the label is changing according to the obstacle. Here we only have one plane and we have a shader here, and we are just changing the time value according to the according to the material, and we obtain different different labels. I'm going to show you how to do it.
Great.
And I'm now switching back to Visual Studio, and I'm opening this FBX file. This is the file we are getting from TRDS Max, actually. For example, for this I was just going to show you the label on the scale. This label, for example, now it's written that 0.0 grams, and if I enable the render with time-based animation, you can see that it is changing. So according to the time value, it is changing, and in the code we are changing the value to the correct. We are changing to time to the correct value, and we were able to see the correct weights for the component. And if I open the shader file for this digits, you can see that we are getting the time from the code, and the time value is between 0 and 1.0. So that's the same thing you're using in your starter kit. You're using it to change your component's colors, and we are using it to show different values with the same shader. And there is a texture coordinate, there's a pan UV components, and we are feeding it to the texture sampler, and we are getting the RGB value, the part of the image here. I'm going to show the whole image later, and we are obtaining here the final color, actually the final picture. Let me show you the label. It's right here. Yes, so it's just one image, and it is fed to the shader, and when the time value is 0.0, then you are seeing this one in the scale. If it is 0.1, then you are using this. You are seeing this 0.3 grams, and finally, if it is 0.9, the time value, you are seeing this. So with the shader, it's possible for you that you can separate the image into 9 and show them all. So in the runtime, I think it's not possible to change the shader, or maybe it is difficult. I don't know if it is possible, but with the help of this, you can show any image you want, given the fact that you can show the parts of image.
Yeah.
And the more exciting one is sorry, Roberto.
No, yeah, I just wanted to say that this is a super creative solution for showing the images, and it's really cool because like you load the texture only once, and then you're making like a sprite, but instead of using a sprite batch, you're just loading the sprites and changing the time on the shader, so everything is running on the GPU, which makes it super fast. So it's a really cool solution for that animation and for changing the values using the time as a sprite controller. That's interesting. Very, very creative idea.
Exactly, yeah.
So tell me about the flame shader now.
Yeah, the flame shader is actually, the flame is actually, as you can see, is a very thin plane. Actually, it has zero width. But since we are looking at the scene from here, it's not seen as a plane, but it is seen as a cool flame. If I enable the render with time-based animation, you can see that the flame is actually realistic. I don't know if you can see it, but
yeah, we can see it here.
If you zoom out, it's now seen very perfectly. And with the help of this, we did a lot of particle-based animations by ourselves with the help of graphic designers. They are very creative guys. And if I open the shader for this, the properties window, and the shader here is called Atesh. You can see that the time is feeding the the motion, and we again have a pan UV, and the time is fed here, and we got an output to sample this texture. And this texture is fed to here, and we have an alpha texture here. It's looking almost as a flame, and we are using it just for the alpha of the final image. And there is another image which is called the differential flame, and this differential flame, the flame noise, and this flame alpha images with this complex mat is producing the flame itself. And with the help of it, we were able to produce rain and for example other kind of particle animations very easily. Since currently it is not possible with the starter kit and in the Visual Studio to show some particle animation, I think. And this was the solution that we have found, actually.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, this solution, besides being also very creative, and it is a common way to do this kind of animations. You're going to have like a time-based noise or a time-based position, and then you have like something that represents the visual, which is like the blue texture that you have there. But the cool point of that approach is that it's actually much faster to render something like that, like a sprite image animating, than to render a real particle animation with thousands of millions of particles, especially on a low-power device like a Surface RT. So even though the solution is not as physically accurate, it has a very cool effect, a visual effect that's like very enticing, and it's much faster to render because you're just panning a texture instead of actually creating millions of particles and simulating physics and all that.
But here we are tricking users, since the camera is, so when the camera is moving, then user is going to understand that the plane is not so it's a plane and not really the effect actually.
But I'll give you a tip for that though. You can use a technique that's called billboarding. The idea of billboarding is you get a plane and you turn the plane to always face the camera. If you do that for that flame, I can assure you that the user will never discover that this is not an actual flame.
Correct. That's correct. Yes.
So you can try that later, and you might have some interesting results. Well, it's great to see all your cool effects and shaders, and I think our viewers are also gonna love this because this is some really really cool ideas that, like, seeing firsthand from a real app, we can really learn how to do some really, really cool effects. So we'll definitely keep an eye for what's coming next for your app. And also, we're going to post a link to the Windows Store together with this video so people can download your app and check it out. And also, don't forget to let us know whenever you have the version in English or other languages, because my Turkish is a little bit rusty. So I would love to understand more about the experiments and learn more from them. And I'm pretty sure our users, our viewers would also love that. So I'd like to thank you a lot for the time, and thanks for showing all this cool stuff. And I hope you keep using our starter kit. I hope you like it. And I hope you also share more of your experiences, because we need to build this community around the starter kit so that people can help each other to create great apps as fast as possible with the Windows Store. So that's going to be all for today. Thanks a lot. And thanks. We'll see you next time.